His name was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, and dear parishioners, we continue our great celebration of the Nativity of our Lord. We are in the 12 days of Christmas. And we are especially focusing on the name bestowed on Jesus and honoring his holy name, the name of our salvation. And even for at least a week after the Epiphany, we'll continue to celebrate the great feast of the Nativity, this time with a inclusion of the wise men coming from the east, the Magi, to adore him. I think most people would agree that this time of the year is truly unique and special. Almost everybody in the world, even those that do not love our Lord, they like this time of the year. It's been said, at least in one Christmas song, it's the most wonderful time of the year. But why is it that we as Catholics and any other believers, why we find it so inspiring, so helpful, so wonderful? Because of the love that we see in the manger. We see children at their most charming when they're little babies. Well, in this case, the divine child. And just the more we reflect upon that, the more we will be inflamed with love for Almighty God, that he would condescend to such a condition to be the helpless baby. All babies are helpless. They can't do anything for themselves. They completely depend on mother, primarily. And of course, the father and others. So God himself put himself into this condition. And when we think of our Lord, it's especially at the beginning of his life and at the end of his life that we are so inspired to love him. Who can't love a baby? We're so charmed, inspired. We find babies so lovable. And there he is in the manger. But look at the end of his life. He's dying on the cross in the worst torments. And as we look at the crucifix, which is what he came to do, we realize that he took all of those sufferings upon himself so that we could be saved. We're not guaranteed salvation. He gave us the opportunity. He redeemed us. He redeemed all on the cross. He took those sufferings and death upon himself, which we deserve because of our sins. He took the lash instead of us taking it. So at the beginning and end of his life, he is giving us the most profound, the most convincing, the most inspiring reasons to love him. As I said, practically the whole world celebrates Christmas. They're inspired by this, even if unfortunately and sadly and tragically they reject our Lord. But this time of the year it just gives rise to so much celebration. I had read somewhere that there are more songs written about this season than about any other season of the year. So I did a quick Google search. How many songs One estimate is 10,000. And that's just in the English language. And those are the ones that are very directly about Christmas, about God being born as a baby. And so what about all the other languages of the world? We're just a small part of that, or the smaller part of that. So it's almost astronomical how many songs have been written. Why? Because, again, it's so inspiring, so amazing to think of the love of God appearing this way as a little child. So he is showing us his love, but he is also sacrificing. He's suffering. And that reminds us of a great truth. What is love without sacrifice? Even in human relationships, think about this. If you don't sacrifice for the person you love, that's not very much love, is it? Love, or rather I should say sacrifice, proves that the love is there and increases the love. And so how is Jesus sacrificing in the manger? Well, first of all, becoming man, that infinite distance that God traveled, so to speak, from being on the heavenly throne to being in the manger. How much sacrifice was that not? But he's also suffering. In our Advent prayer, we say he came in the piercing cold. And mangers, and by the way, stables in that part of the world, they were often caves. So that's why we see so many Christmas creches or Christmas representations involving a cave. It was an easier way, in some cases, easier to do it in the cave rather than to build a wooden structure. But whatever the case may be, it was a stable, and stables don't smell very good. The straw doesn't feel all that good. It's not the softest, warmest place. And then, as we know, he shed blood in the circumcision, so he's suffering. He is showing us that he is willing to suffer for us, even from his very birth. So how do we show our love for him? We show our love for him, as he would say later on, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we show and grow in our love for him, by keeping his commandments. In other words, conquering sin in our daily lives. But we also have to spend time with him. The more you love somebody, the more you want to spend that time with that person. And also, we have to sacrifice for him. Otherwise, our love will stay shallow. And it's the sacrifice to conquer sin, is it not? So this is, again, the wonderful, charming, inspiring theme of this holy time of the year. And as I said, we are especially focusing on his holy name today. As we know, every child is given a name. And the angel had told both Our Lady and Saint Joseph, you will call his name Jesus. In Hebrew, that's Yeshua. And Yeshua means the Savior. And interestingly, there had been other Yeshuas in the Old Testament. Another variation of that would be Joshua. But there is only one Yeshua Christus, the Savior. Those others may have been saviors in some other way, in much smaller ways. Joshua was a savior, when he helped to lead the chosen people into the promised land. Remember, Moses was not allowed to. So in a smaller way, he was a savior. But the savior of the world, the one in whose name alone we can be saved, he is called Jesus the Christ. Jesus, the anointed one. That's what Christ means, the anointed one. And there is only one Jesus Christ in all of history, the God-man. When we think of his dignity, his specialness, what he's done for us, can we not see what a horrible sin it is to take his name in vain? And yet, how many people freely break the second commandment? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What disrespect, what dishonor to that very name that is our salvation. You know, to this day, Orthodox Jews take a directive of the Old Testament to an extreme where they say, I can't, God's name is so holy that I can't even pronounce it or write it. And so they will write G, and then they will write a hyphen to replace the O, and then D. And then that way they feel they're not offending. Well, that's going too far. We can say the name of God. We can say the name of Jesus. And we should say these holy names with reverence, with honor. Realize the power that is in the name of Almighty God. We read in the Acts of the Apostles how Peter and John, I believe it was, went up to the temple to pray, and there was a man begging. He had been paralyzed from birth. And he thought that he would get some money, as what beggars do. They beg for something, especially money. And Peter and John, being the poor men, the poor followers of that poor founder of theirs, of their holy religion, says, we don't have any gold or silver, but in the name of Jesus, we can give you something. And Peter says, arise and walk in the power of his name. And that man got up. He literally walked. Maybe it was the first time in his life. I can't remember if he was just paralyzed, you know, for many years or been since so from his birth. But what a gift they gave him that day. Better than any gold or silver they could have given him. Why? Because they knew the power of the holy name, and it was their duty to use that holy name through their apostolic role to bestow that gift of health. And so it is in the name of Jesus that demons are driven out. It is in the name of Jesus that health is given. It is for this reason that you see every single prayer in your missal end, or most prayers, end with, through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son. We bow our heads at the holy name of Jesus, also at the name of Mary, because they deserve it. And it would be at the Last Supper that Jesus would say, hitherto you have not asked anything in my name. Ask now in my name. So I hope that you will have an ever greater awareness of the power of the holy name of Jesus, the name of that little baby lying in the manger. Let his holy name, let his humble condition, let his loving suffering in the manger inspire us to ever love him more and more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.